We already asked in Maseches Harayos, in the Mini Chabura there, what exactly is the role of a Rav? When a rabbi answers a Shaila, is he simply telling his questioner, his Shoel, this source says this, that source says that? The questioner is asking the question because he doesn't know the sources. The rabbi is giving him the sources, so now he can decide on his own. Or is the idea that the rabbi is taking on his shoulders the responsibility for however the shoel acts, as long as the shoel acts in accordance with his decision. In Maseches Harayos we had Rayos that the latter was truly the case, while the former was not. Namely, that when somebody comes with a shaila, and the Rav paskins the shaila, the Rav is not merely telling him what the consensus of halakhic authorities is, but rather the Rav is taking on his shoulders responsibility for the subsequent actions of the one who's asking the shaila. And in Maseches Sanhedrin, in the Minhag HaBurah is over there, so we also ask a similar question about Eidos. When you have two witnesses who come and testify in front of the court that a particular person committed a capital offense, so what are they doing? Are they simply giving a history lecture that on such and such a date, in such a place, so the criminal, you know, perpetrated an act of violence on the victim, and it's like a regular history lecture, this is what happened, this date and this place. Right? And then the Beis Din are the ones who are taking upon themselves to, you know, based on this history lecture that they received, to destroy or punish the criminal. Or is Pshat, when you have two Edim, that what they're doing is not only giving a history lecture, but they're also accepting responsibility for the punishment which Beis Din will mete out at their hands to the criminal. And in Maseches Sanhedrin, and also in Maseches Shavuos, we had Rayos, that again, the latter is true. In addition to the former, it's not only that the Edom are telling us what happened, but the Edom are also accepting responsibility for the consequences of their actions. And I believe that this is true not only by Psak Halacha, and not only by Eidos for capital offenses, this is true also regarding the Klal of Eid Echad Ne'eman B'Yisurin. Namely, that I can only take responsibility for my act of eating something if I observed with my own eyes that that something is kosher, that it was shechted properly. Or if someone else who's capable, who's a responsible person, takes responsibility because he saw with his own eyes that it's kosher. It may be argued that a katan, a minor, is someone who inherently is incapable of accepting halachic responsibility. And the reason is because in order to accept responsibility, a person has to have a feeling of dread, so to speak, almost. Yiras ha'onesh, at the very least, if not yiras ha'romimus. And a katan is not liable in Shemayim, not in heavenly court, not in earthly court, for the consequences of his actions. So if we don't hold him responsible for the consequences of his own actions, how can we make him responsible? How can he take responsibility for the consequences of other people's actions? And it's really a dual effect. On the one hand, we see that halacha doesn't deem him responsible for his own actions, so clearly he's not a bal achrayos, he's not deemed a responsible person. But even more than that, not only is it that we see that halacha treats him this way, but because of the very status which halacha accords him, namely that he's not liable to punishment, this itself impedes and inhibits his ability to take responsibility, even if he's extraordinarily mature. Because, once again, if he doesn't know what it means, the fear of punishment, he has no such fear yet, at least not in the metaphysical, ontological sense. So again, how can he take responsibility and say, oh, don't you worry, about your, you know, spiritual punishment. So katan, I think, is not a balach rayos. And then we explain the shita of the ra'ah. The ra'ah claims that if a katan does shita, even if he's known, he's passed all of his bechinos on hilchos shita with flying colors, he's a mumche, and even if he's shechted in front of us a million times, he's a muchzak, he doesn't faint, he doesn't, you know, tilt his hand, does a perfect shechita every time. Even so, if nobody's observing him when he shechts, no one is allowed to eat from the meat that he shechts. And the Rashba says, like Lechaora, this is not true. The Ra'ah claims that the halacha is that the meat that he shechts without being under observation is treif. And the Rashba says, what are you talking about? Of course the meat is kosher, because there's all sorts of chazakos and umtanas, presumptions, very strong halachic presumptions, that his shechita is a kosher shechita, that it was done with the precise hand motions, and that if had any shayla come up, he would have come and asked us, and it's basically guaranteed that if you took a video of his shechita, it would be the training video for all future shochtim. So what could be wrong? What could be wrong, says the Rashba? There's this very strong presumption that everything that he did was perfect. But I believe the answer for the Ra'ah is that shechita needs more than simply a perfect motion that can be captured on video. In order for meat to be kosher, that meat must be certified by a balach rayos who observed the process that it took to make the meat kosher. And in this case, the katan shechted alone, and therefore the maisa hashechita was not observed by a balach rayos. There's nobody to take responsibility for my eating this meat. I can't take responsibility because I didn't observe the shechita. The katan can't take responsibility because he's not a balach rayos, and there's nobody else possible to take responsibility. Therefore, I believe the Ra'ah says that this is a shechita psula. The Rashba would disagree. The Rashba would claim that an umdana is sufficient to let me take achrayas for myself, the same way as if I had observed the shechita being done properly. But the Ra'ah claims that no, I need to mamish see it with my own eyes, or that someone else who's a baal achrayas needs to see it with their own eyes. That's one machlokas, which I believe can be explained with this idea that when a person is made that a certain meat is kosher, they're not simply telling us what happened historically, that the knife was, you know, forwards and backwards, you know, in the proper motion, but they're also taking responsibility. Another function, I believe, of this theory, that in order to make meat kosher, there needs to be somebody who observed its maisa, which made it kosher, someone who observed that maisa, who is a balach rayos, who is capable of taking responsibility for anybody who eats this meat, is the following halacha. There's a discussion about a mumar l'teavin, a person who eats treif because of his taiva, because of his enormous, insatiable appetite for meat. He can't find kosher meat which is affordable, he can't find kosher meat which tastes as good, he can't find kosher meat which is as convenient, so therefore he eats treif, because he just can't go without meat. Mumar l'teavin. The discussion is, Momer l'teavin, we say, the same way as in Momer for any other Avera, so he loses ne'manos, he loses credibility to testify in matters pertaining to that Avera. So you would expect that a Momer l'teavin loses his credibility to testify in matters pertaining to the kashrus of meat or the kashrus of foods. However, there's actually a dispute about this between the Rashba and the Ra'ah. The Ra'ah says that this Momer l'teavin totally, entirely loses his credibility, and even though there are some circumstances under which a Momer l'teavin is able to do shechita without anybody observing him, so there the reason that he's ne'eman, the Ra'ah will say, is because there's some sort of a very strong umdana. Perhaps you have to figure out whether this doesn't necessarily jive with the Ra'ah that I mentioned earlier, or the interpretation of the Ramah that I mentioned earlier may require some sort of yishuv. But I believe that maybe it's a possibility that the Ra'ah says that the Momer l'teavin is ne'eman under some circumstances, even though nobody's observing him, because there's a very strong umdana that the ma'isa shechita that he did was a perfect ma'isa shechita. If you check the knife beforehand and the knife is there, you got him when knife is still in his hand when he's finishing the Maaseh Shechita. So it's kemat batuach, almost certain that he did the Maaseh Shechita with this kosher knife. And there's a presumption that momer l'teavin, as long as it doesn't take too much extra effort, that he'll do the Shechita properly. So therefore, there is such a presumption that you caught him with a knife in his hand as he was finishing up the Shechita, and the knife was kosher. So probably the Shechita was kosher also, because it doesn't take that much extra effort to take care that the Shechita is kosher. So that's the presumption that the Ra says is contributes towards the nemanos of this momer l'teavin. The Rashba says that the reason that this momer is believed is not so much because of a presumption, but rather he's believed because he actually has real bona fide credibility. Which is very, very strange, because the general rule that we have is that a momer, whenever it comes to the area of halacha where he transgresses, loses his credibility. So I believe that it's possible that the machlokes is as follows, that that again, according to the Ra'ah, so we say that a momer either loses his credibility or loses his ability to take responsibility for others in all matters that pertain to the Avira which he is suspect of transgressing. However, the Rashba will say that perhaps the momer has credibility all over the place. The momer doesn't necessarily lose his credibility, but what he does lose is he loses his sense of responsibility. If a person is willing to shoulder the awesome punishment in Olam Haba that's meted out to people who transgress Aveiro, so that proves that he's an irresponsible person. The same way that a katan who is not going to be punished is not considered responsible for his actions. This momer, who clearly just doesn't understand and has not internalized the severity of the punishment that's going to be meted out to Ovri Avira, is also just, he's not a responsible person. It's like a person who runs out into the street in front of moving traffic, or runs across a red light when there's a speeding car coming towards him. So we'll, if it's a child, for sure, we'll take away his privileges of crossing the street. Why? Because he doesn't understand. He clearly has no sense of the fatal consequences that could result from the action that he did. So he's not a responsible child. We take away his privileges. The same thing with an adult who, so to speak, runs in front of a spiritual, speeding bus. That's a person who doesn't have Avera, who eats treif. He's running in front of a speeding bus. He's not a responsible person, so therefore we cannot let him take responsibility for somebody else. You would never let a child, even if he's 20 years old, who runs out in front of speeding vehicles, walk a younger child across the street. I don't trust you with this younger child. I'm going to walk the younger child across the street myself, because you're not responsible. You don't take your own life seriously. How can I trust you to take this younger person's life seriously? The same thing over here, that the momer l'teavin doesn't take his own spiritual life seriously, so therefore we cannot trust him to take somebody else's spiritual life seriously. So therefore, Taka, he has ne'emanos. He's believed to tell me that the Maaseh Shechita was done properly. We don't suspect that he's lying, but since he's inherently not a responsible person, therefore he cannot take responsibility. The Torah doesn't give him the privilege of taking responsibility for others, of, so to speak, walking somebody across the street, of saying, I'm going to take responsibility for your Maaseh Achila. Based on this, we can explain the idea of the Rashba, that under some circumstances he has responsibility, because it could be that in circumstances where the momer will make the right decision, he is considered a responsible person, even though it relates to the same avira where sometimes he makes the wrong decision. For example, a momer who, when there's only invalid knives, will shecht with an invalid knife. So if you catch him in a circumstance where all he has is an invalid knife, so then he can't take responsibility for you, because it's in a context where he has proven himself to be irresponsible. However, since this self-same mumar, when there is a kosher knife, will take pains to make sure that his shechita is kosher, therefore, in such a context, when there's a kosher knife in front of him, he is considered a responsible person. Again, there are many different types of streets. Let's say you have a person who doesn't really understand the severity of crossing against a red light when there are cars in sight, but he understands the responsibility of not crossing an 8-lane highway. So it could be that when it comes to regular city streets, you're not going to trust him as a responsible person. But if it comes to an 8-lane highway, so then he is a responsible person. So the same thing with this mumar. The mumar understands somewhat the hierarchy of values, and it's just that under in certain circumstances, he doesn't act responsibly. responsibility. So in those circumstances where he doesn't ask for responsibility, he cannot take responsibility for others. But if the situation is such that he has all of the tools to be a responsible actor, so then he's capable in those circumstances of taking responsibility for others. And that's why the Rashba will say that if you find such a mummer with a kosher knife in his hand, or in his house maybe even, so the context is one in which this person has demonstrated that he acts responsibly. In that context, he acts responsibly. Therefore, the Rashba will say that he has absolute nemanos and absolute capability to take responsibility for others in this context. Again, because the yisod of a mashgiach who's supervising the shechita process is not simply to give us a history lesson and tell us exactly the angles of the knife to the neck and the speed and the calculus and the physics of how the knife shechted, but his goal actually is to take responsibility for the subsequent achilos that people eat from the meat which was shechted under his supervision.